There was light, but it was not the dawn. They had crossed the frigid water and made the other side when she first noticed it. Even as she ran along the bank of the river, before she could see the source of the light, Abby knew that magic was being called there that was unlike any magic she had ever seen before. A sound, low and thin, whined up the river toward her. A smell, as if the air itself had been burned, hung along the riverbank. The little girl clung to Abby, tears running down her face, afraid to speak. Afraid, it seemed, to hope that she had at last been rescued, as if asking a question might somehow make it all vanish like a dream upon waking. Abby felt tears coursing down her own cheeks. When she rounded a bend in the river, she spotted the wizard. He stood in the center of the river, on a rock that Abby had never before seen. The rock was just large enough to clear the surface of the water by a few inches, making it almost appear as if the wizard stood on the surface of the water. Before him, as he faced toward distant Dara, shapes, dark and wavering, floated in the air. They curled around, as if confiding in him, conversing, warning, tempting him with floating arms and reaching fingers that wreathed like smoke. Animate light twisted up around the wizard. Colors both dark and wondrous glimmered about him, cavorting with the shadowy forms undulating through the air. It was at once the most enchanting and the most frightening thing Abby had ever seen. No magic her mother conjured had ever seemed aware. But the most frightening thing by far was what hovered in the air before the wizard. It appeared to be a molten sphere, so hot it glowed from within, its surface a crackling of fluid dross. An arm of water from the river magically turned skyward in a fountain spray and poured down over the rotating silvery mass. The water hissed and steamed as it hit the sphere, leaving behind clouds of white vapor to drift away in the gentle dawn wind. The molten form blackened at the touch of the water cascading over it, and yet the intense inner heat melted the glassy surface again as fast as the water cooled it, making the whole thing bubble and boil in midair, a pulsing, sinister menace. Transfixed, Abby let the child slip to the silty ground. The little girl's arm stretched out. "Papa!" He was too far away to hear her, but he heard. Zed turned. At once larger than life in the midst of magic, Abby could see but not begin to fathom, yet at the same time small with the frailty of human need. Tears filled his eyes as he gazed at his daughter standing beside Abby. This man who seemed to be consulting with spirits looked as if for the first time he were seeing a true apparition. Zed leaped off the rock and charged through the water. When he reached her and took her up in the safety of his arms, she began to wail at last with the contained terror released. "There, there, dear one," Zed comforted. "Papa is here now." "Oh, Papa," she cried against his neck. "They hurt Mama. They were wicked. They hurt her so." He hushed her tenderly. "I know, dear one, I know." For the first time, Abby saw the sorceress and the mother confessor standing off to the side, watching. They, too, shed tears at what they were seeing. Though Abby was glad for the wizard and his daughter, the sight only intensified the pain in her chest at what she had lost. She was choked with tears. "There, there, dear one," Zed was cooing. "You're safe now. Papa won't let anything happen to you. You're safe now." Zed turned to Abby. By the time he had smiled his tearful appreciation, the child was asleep. "A little spell," he explained when Abby's brow twitched with surprise. "She needs to rest. I need to finish what I am doing." He put his daughter in Abby's arms. "Abby, would you take her up to your house where she can sleep until I'm finished here? Please, put her in bed and cover her up to keep her warm. She will sleep for now. Thinking about her own daughter in the hands of the brutes across the river, Abby could only nod before turning to the task. She was happy for Zed, and even felt pride at having rescued his little girl. But as she ran for home, she was near to dying with grief over her failure to recover her family. Abby settled the dead weight of the sleeping child into her bed. She drew the curtain across the small window in her bedroom, and, unable to resist, smoothed back silky hair and pressed a kiss to the soft brow before leaving the girl to her blessed rest. With the child safe at last and asleep, Abby raced back down the knoll to the river. She thought to ask Zed to give her just a little more time so she could return to look for her own daughter. Fear for Janna had her heart pounding wildly. He owed her a debt and had not yet seen it through. Wringing her hands, Abby came to a panting halt at the water's edge. She watched the wizard up on his rock in the river, light and shadow coursing up around him. She had been around magic enough to have the sense to fear approaching him. She could hear his chanted words. Though they were words she had never heard before, she recognized the idiosyncratic cadence of words spoken in a spell, words calling together frightful forces. On the ground beside her was the strange grace she had seen him draw before, the one that breached the worlds of life and death. The grace was drawn with a sparkling, pure white sand that stood out in stark relief against the dark silt. Abby shuddered even to look upon it, much less contemplate its meaning. Around the grace, carefully drawn with the same sparkling white sand, were geometric forms of magical invocations. Abby lowered her fists, about to call out to the wizard, when Delora leaned close. Abby flinched in surprise. "Not now, Abigail," the sorceress murmured. "Don't disturb him in the middle of this part." Reluctantly, Abby heeded the sorceress's words. The mother confessor was there, too. Abby chewed her bottom lip as she watched the wizard throw up his arms. Sparkles of colored light curled up along twisting shafts of shadows. "But I haven't been able to find my family. He must help me. He must save them. It's a debt of bones that must be satisfied." The two other women shared a look. "Abby," the mother confessor said, "he gave you a chance, gave you time. He tried, he did his best, but he has everyone else to think of now." The mother confessor took up Abby's hand, and the sorceress put an arm around Abby's shoulders as she stood weeping on the riverbank. It wasn't supposed to end this way. Not after all she had been through. Not after all she had done. Despair crushed her. The wizard, his arms raised, called forth more light, more shadows, more magic. The river roiled around him. The hissing thing in the air grew as it slowly slumped closer to the water. Shafts of light shot from the hot, rotating bloom of power. The sun was rising over the hills behind the Darrens. This part of the river wasn't as wide as elsewhere, and Abby could see the activity in the trees beyond. Men moved about, but the fog hanging on the far bank kept them wary, kept them in the trees. Also across the river, at the edge of the tree-covered hills, another wizard had appeared to conjure magic. He, too, stood atop a rock as his arms launched sparkling light up into the air. Abby thought that the strong morning sun might outshine the conjured illuminations, but it didn't. Abby could stand it no longer. "Zed!" she called out across the river. "Zed! Please! You promised! I found your daughter! What about mine? Please don't do this until she is safe!" Zed turned and looked at her as if from a great distance, as if from another world. Arms of dark forms caressed him. Fingers of dark smoke dragged along his jaw, urging his attention back to them. But he gazed instead at Abby. "I'm so sorry." Despite the distance, Abby could clearly hear his whispered words. I gave you time to try to find them. I can spare no more, or countless other mothers will weep for their children, mothers still living, and mothers in the spirit world. Abby cried out in an anguished wail as he turned back to the ensorcelment. The two women tried to comfort her, but Abby was not to be comforted in her grief. Thunder rolled through the hills. A clacking clamor from the spell around Zed rose to echo up and down the valley. Shafts of intense light shot upward. It was a disorienting sight, light shining up into sunlight. Across the river, the counter to Zed's magic seemed to spring forth. Arms of light twisted like smoke, lowering to tangle with the light radiating up around Zed. The fog along the riverbank diffused suddenly. In answer, Zed spread his arms wide. The glowing, tumbling furnace of molten light thundered. The water sluicing over it roared as it boiled and steamed. The air wailed as if in protest. Behind the wizard across the river, the Darren soldiers were pouring out of the trees, driving their prisoners before them. People cried out in terror. They quailed at the wizard's magic, only to be driven onward by the spears and swords at their backs. Abby saw several who refused to move fall to the blades. At the mortal cries, the rest rushed onward, like sheep before wolves. If whatever Zed was doing failed, the army of the Midlands would then charge into this valley to confront the enemy. The prisoners would be caught in the middle. A figure worked its way up along the opposite bank, dragging a child behind. Abby's flesh flashed icy cold with sudden frigid sweat. It was Mariska. Abby shot a quick glance back over her shoulder. It was impossible. She squinted across the river.
No!
Zed called out. It was Zed's little girl that Mariska had by the hair. Somehow Mariska had followed and found the child sleeping in Abby's home. With no one there to watch over her as she slept, Mariska had stolen the child back. Mariska held the child out before her, for Zed to see.
Cease and surrender, Zorander, or she dies!
Abby tore away from the arms holding her and charged into the water. She struggled to run against the current, to reach the wizard. Partway there, he turned to stare into her eyes. Abby froze. I'm sorry. Her own voice sounded to her like a plea before death. I thought she was safe. Zed nodded in resignation. It was out of his hands. He turned back to the enemy. His arms lifted to his sides. His fingers spread as if commanding all to stop, magic and men alike.
Let the prisoners go!
Zed called across the water to the enemy wizard.
Let them go, Anargo, and I'll give you all your lives.
Anargo's laugh rang out over the water.
Surrender,
Mariska hissed,
or she dies.
The old woman pulled the knife she kept in the wrap around her waist. She pressed the blade to the child's throat. The girl was screaming in terror, her arms reaching to her father, her little fingers clawing the air. Abby struggled ahead into the water. She called out, begging Mariska to let Zed's daughter go free. The woman paid no more heed to Abby than to Zed.
Last chance,
Mariska called.
You heard her,
Anargo growled out across the water. Surrender now or she will die.
You know I can't put myself above my people, Zed called back. This is between us, Anargo. Let them all go.
Anargo's laugh echoed up and down the river.
You are a fool, Zorander. You had your chances.
His expression twisted to rage.
Kill her!
He screamed to Mariska. Fists at his side, Zed shrieked. The sound seemed to split the morning with its fury. Mariska lifted the squealing child by her hair. Abby gasped in disbelief as the woman sliced the little girl's throat.
The child flailed. Blood spurted across Mariska's gnarly fingers as she viciously sawed the blade back and forth. She gave a final mighty yank of the knife. The blood-soaked body dropped in a limp heap.
Abby felt vomit welling up in the back of her throat. The silty dirt of the riverbank turned a wet red. Mariska held the severed head high with a howl of victory. Strings of flesh and blood swung beneath it. The mouth hung in a slack, silent cry. Abby threw her arms around Zed's legs. "Dear spirits, I'm sorry. Oh, Zed, forgive me." She wailed in anguish, unable to gather her senses at witnessing a sight so grisly. "And now, child?" Zed asked in a hoarse voice from above. "What would you have me do? Would you have me let them win? To save your daughter from what they have done to mine? Tell me, child, what should I do?" Abby couldn't beg for the life of her family at a cost of such people rampaging unchecked across the land. Her sickened heart wouldn't allow it. How could she sacrifice the lives and peace of everyone else, just so her loved ones would live? She would be no better than Mariska, killing innocent children.
"Kill them all!" Abby screamed up at the wizard. She threw her arm out, pointing at Mariska and the hateful wizard and Argo. "Kill the bastards! Kill them all!"
Zed's arms flung upward. The morning cracked with a peal of thunder. As if he had loosed it, the molten mass before him plunged into the water. The ground shook with a jolt. A huge geyser of water exploded forth. The air itself quaked. All around, the most dreadful rumbling whipped the water into froth. Abby squatted down with the water to her waist, felt numb not only from the cold, but also from the cold knowledge that she'd been forsaken by the good spirit she had always thought would watch over her. Zed turned and snatched her arm, dragging her up on the rock with him. It was another world. The shapes around them called to her, too. They reached out, bridging the distance between life and death. Searing pain, frightful joy, profound peace spread through her at their touch. Light moved up through her body, filling her like air filled her lungs, and exploded in showers of sparks in her mind's eye. The thick howl of the magic was deafening. Green light ripped through the water. Across the river, an Argo had been thrown to the ground. The rock atop which he had stood had shattered into needle-like shards. The soldiers called out in fright as the air all about danced with swirling smoke and sparks of light.
"Run!"
Mariska screamed.
"While you have the chance! Run for your lives!"
Already she was racing toward the hills.
"Leave the prisoners to die! Save yourselves! Run!"
The mood across the river suddenly galvanized with a single determination. The Darrens dropped their weapons. They cast aside the ropes and chains holding the prisoners. They kicked up dirt as they turned and ran. In a single instant, the whole of an army that had a moment before stood grimly facing them were all, as if of a single fright, running for their lives. From the corner of her eye, Abby saw the Mother Confessor and the Sorceress struggling to run into the water. Although the water was hardly above their knees, it bogged them down in their rush nearly as much as would mud. Abby watched it all as if in a dream. She floated in the light surrounding her. Pain and rapture were one within her. Light and dark, sound and silence, joy and sorrow, all were one, everything and nothing, together in a cauldron of raging magic. Across the river, the Darren army had vanished into the woods. Dust rose above the trees, marking their horses, wagons, and footfalls racing away. While at the riverbank, the Mother Confessor and the Sorceress were shoving people into the water, screaming at them. Though Abby didn't hear the words, So absorbed was she by the strange harmonious trills twisting her thoughts into visions of dancing color overlaying what her eyes were trying to tell her. She thought briefly that surely she was dying. She thought briefly that it didn't matter. And then her mind was swimming again in the cold color and hot light, the drumming music of magic and worlds meshing. The wizard's embrace made her feel as if she were being held in her mother's arms again. Maybe she was. Abby was aware of the people reaching the midland side of the river and running ahead of the mother confessor and sorceress. They vanished into the rushes, and then Abby saw them far away, beyond the tall grass, running uphill, away from the sublime sorcery erupting from the river. The world thundered around her. A subterranean thump brought sharp pain deep in her chest. A whine like steel being shredded tore through the morning air. All around, the water danced and quaked. Hot steam felt as if it would scald Abby's legs. The air went white with it. The noise hurt her ears so much that she squeezed her eyes shut. She saw the same thing with her eyes closed as she saw with them open. Shadowy shapes swirling through the green air. Everything was going crazy in her mind, making no sense. Green fury tore at her body and soul. Abby felt pain, as if something inside her tore asunder. She gasped and opened her eyes. A horrific wall of green fire was receding away from them, toward the far side of the river. Founts of water lashed upward like a thunderstorm in reverse. Lightning laced together above the surface of the river. As the conflagration reached the far bank, the ground beneath it rent apart. Shafts of violet light shot up from the ripping wounds in the earth, like the blood of another realm. Worse, though, than any of it were the howls. Howls of the dead, Abby was sure. It felt as if her own soul moaned in sympathy with the agony of cries filling the air. From the receding green wall of glimmering fire, the shapes twisted and turned, calling, begging, trying to escape the world of the dead. She understood now that that was what the wall of green fire was. Death. Come to life. The wizard had breached the boundary between worlds. Abby had no idea how much time passed. In the grip of the strange light in which she swam, there seemed to be no time, any more than there was anything solid. There was nothing familiar about any of the sensations upon which to hang understanding. It seemed to Abby that the wall of green fire had halted its advance in the trees on the far hillside. The trees over which it had passed, and those she could see embraced by the shimmering curtain, had been blackened and shriveled by the profound touch of death itself. Even the grass over which the grim presence had passed looked to have been baked black and crisp by a high summer sun. As Abby watched the wall, it dulled. As she stared, it seemed to waver in and out of her vision. Sometimes a glimmering green gloss like molten glass, and sometimes no more than a pale hint, like a fog just now passed from the air. To each side it was spreading, a wall of death raging across the world of life. Abby realized she heard the river again. The comfortable, common, sloshing, lapping, burbling sounds that she lived her life hearing, but most of the time didn't notice. Zed hopped down from the rock. He took her hand and helped her down. Abby gripped his hand tightly to brace against the dizzying sensations swimming through her head. Zed snapped his fingers, and the rock upon which they had just stood leaped into the air, causing her to gasp in fright. In an instant so brief that she doubted she had seen it, Zed caught the rock. It had become a small stone, smaller than an egg. He winked at her as he slipped it into a pocket. She thought the wink the oddest thing she could imagine. odder even than the boulder, now a stone, in his pocket. On the bank, the mother confessor and the sorceress waited. They took her arms, helping her out of the water. The sorceress looked grim. Zed, why isn't it moving? It sounded to Abby more like an accusation than a question. Either way, Zed ignored it. Zed, Abby mumbled, I'm so sorry. It's my fault. I shouldn't have left her alone. I should have stayed. I'm so sorry. The wizard, hardly hearing her words, was looking off to the wall of death on the other side of the river. He brought his clawed fingers up past his chest, calling something forth from within himself. With a sudden thump to the air, fire erupted between his hands. He held it out as he would hold an offering. Abby threw an arm up in front of her face at the heat. Zed lifted the roiling ball of liquid fire. It grew between his hands, tumbling and turning, roaring and hissing with rage. The three women backed away. Abby had heard of such fire. She had once heard her mother name it in a hushed tone. Wizard's fire. Even then, not seeing or knowing its like, those whispered words forming a picture in Abby's mind as her mother recounted it had sent a chill through Abby. Wizard's fire was the bane of life, called forth to scourge an enemy. This could be nothing else. For killing my love, my Erelin, the mother of our daughter, and all the other innocent loved ones of innocent people, Zed whispered. I send you, Panisral, the gift of death. The wizard opened his arms outward. The liquid blue and yellow fire, bidden by its master, tumbled forward, gathering speed, roaring away toward Dara. As it crossed the river, it grew like angry lightning blooming forth, wailing with wrathful fury, reflecting in glimmering points from the water in thousands of bright sparkles. The wizard's fire shot across the growing wall of green, just catching the upper edge. At the contact, green flame flared forth, some of it tearing away, caught up behind the wizard's fire, trailing after like smoke behind flame. The deadly mix howled toward the horizon. Everyone stood transfixed, watching, until all trace of it had vanished in the distance. When Zed, pale and drawn, turned back to them, Abby clutched his robes. Zed, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't... He put his fingers to her lips to silence her. There is someone waiting for you. He tilted his head. She turned. Back by the rushes, Philip stood holding Janna's hand. Abby gasped with a jolt of giddy joy. Philip grinned his familiar grin. At his other side, her father smiled and nodded his approval to her. Arms reaching, Abby ran to them. Janna's face wrinkled. She backed against Philip. Abby fell to her knees before her. It's Mama, Philip said to Janna. She just has herself some new clothes. Abby realized Janna was frightened by the red leather outfit she was wearing. Abby grinned through her tears.
Mama!
Janna cried at seeing the smile. Abby threw her arms around her daughter. She laughed and hugged Janna so hard the child squeaked in protest. Abby felt Philip's hand on her shoulder in loving greeting. Abby stood and threw an arm around him, tears choking her voice. Her father put a comforting hand to her back while she squeezed Janna's hand. Zed, Delora, and the mother confessor gathered them and herded them up the hill toward the people waiting at the top. Soldiers, mostly officers, some that Abby recognized, a few other people from Idendrill, and the wizard Thomas waited with the freed prisoners. Among the people liberated were those of Coney Crossing, people who held Abby, the daughter of a sorceress, in no favor. But they were her people, the people from her home, the people she had wanted saved. Zed rested a hand on Abby's shoulder. Abby was shocked to see that his wavy brown hair was now partly snow white. She knew without a looking glass that hers had undergone the same transformation in the place beyond the world of life, where for a time they had been. "This is Abigail, born of Helsa," the wizard called out to the people gathered. "She is the one who went to Idendril to seek my help. Though she does not have magic, it is because of her that you people are all free. She cared enough to beg for your lives." Abby, with Philip's arm around her waist and Janna's hand in hers, looked from the wizard to the sorceress and then to the Mother Confessor. The Mother Confessor smiled. Abby thought it a cold-hearted thing to do in view of the fact that Zed's daughter had been murdered before their eyes not long before. She whispered as much. The Mother Confessor's smile widened. "Don't you remember?" she asked as she leaned close. "Don't you remember what I told you we called him?" Abby, confused by everything that had happened, couldn't imagine what the Mother Confessor was talking about. When she admitted she didn't, the Mother Confessor and the sorceress shepherded her onward, past the grave where Abby had reburied her mother's skull upon her return, and into the house. With a hand, the Mother Confessor eased back the door to Abby's bedroom. There on the bed where Abby had placed her was Zed's daughter, still sleeping. Abby stared in disbelief. "The trickster," the Mother Confessor said. "I told you that was our name for him." "Not a very flattering one," Zed grumbled as he stepped up behind them. "But how?" Abby pressed her fingers to her temples. "I don't understand." Zed gestured. Abby saw for the first time the body lying just beyond the door out the back. It was Mariska. "When you showed me the room when we first came here," Zed told her, "I laid a few traps for those intent on harm. That woman was killed by those traps because she came in here intent on taking my daughter from where she slept." "You mean it was all an illusion?" Abby was dumbfounded. "Why would you do such a cruel thing? How could you?" "I am the object of vengeance," the wizard explained. "I didn't want my daughter to pay the price her mother has already paid. Since my spell killed the woman as she tried to harm my daughter, I was able to use a vision of her to accomplish the deception. The enemy knew the woman, and that she acted for Anargo. I used what they expected to see to convince them and to frighten them into running and leaving the prisoners. I cast the death spell so that everyone would think they saw my daughter being killed. This way, the enemy thinks my daughter dead, and will have no reason to hunt her or ever again try to harm her. I did it to protect her from the unforeseen." The sorceress scowled at him. "If it were any but you, Zedekus, and for any reason but the reason you had, I'd see you brought up on charges for casting such a web as a death spell." She broke into a grin. "Well done, first wizard." Outside, the officers all wanted to know what was happening. "No battle today," Zed told them. "I've just ended the war." They cheered with genuine joy. Had Zed not been the first wizard, Abby suspected they would have hoisted him on their shoulders. It seemed that there was no one more glad for peace than those whose job it was to fight for it. Wizard Thomas, looking more humble than Abby had ever seen him, cleared his throat.
"Zorander, I simply can't believe what my own eyes have seen."
His face finally took on its familiar scowl.
"But we have people already in near revolt over magic. When news of this spreads, it is only going to make it worse. The demands for relief from magic grow every day, and you have fed the fury. With this, we're liable to have revolt on our hands."
"I still want to know why it isn't moving," Delora growled from behind. "I want to know why it's just sitting there, all green and still." Zed ignored her and directed his attention to the old wizard. "Thomas, I have a job for you." He motioned several officers and officials from Idendril forward, and passed a finger before all their faces, his own turning grim and determined. I have a job for all of you. The people have reason to fear magic. Today we have seen magic deadly and dangerous. I can understand those fears. In appreciation of these fears, I shall grant their wish.
What? Thomas scoffed. You can't end magic, Zorander. Not even you can accomplish such a paradox.
Well, not end it, Zed said, but give them a place without it. I want you to organize an official delegation large enough to travel all the Midlands with the offer. All those who would quit a world with magic are to move to the lands to the west. There they shall set up new lives free of any magic. I shall ensure that magic cannot intrude on their peace. Thomas threw up his hands.
How can you make such a promise?
Zed's arm lifted to point off behind him, to the wall of green fire growing toward the sky. I shall call up a second wall of death, through which none can pass. On the other side, it shall be a place free of magic. There, people will be free to live their lives without magic. I want you all to see that the word is passed through the land. People have until spring to emigrate to the lands west. Thomas, you will warrant that none with magic make the journey. We have books we can use to ensure that we purge a place of any trace of magic. We can assure that there will be no magic there. In the spring, when all who wish have gone to their new homeland, I will seal them off from magic. In one fell swoop, I will satisfy the large majority of the petitions come to us. They will have lives without magic. May the good spirits watch over them, and may they not come to regret their wish granted. Thomas pointed heatedly at the thing Zed had brought into the world.
But what about that thing? What if people go wandering into it in the dark? They will be walking into death.
And not only in the dark, Zed said. Once it is stabilized, it will be hard to see at all. We will have to set up guards to keep people away. We will have to set aside land near the boundary and have men guard the area to keep people out.
Men?
Abby asked. You mean you will have to start a corps of boundary wardens? Yes, Zed said, his eyebrows lifting. That's a good name for them. Boundary wardens. Silence settled over those leaning in to hear the wizard's words. The mood had changed, and was now serious with the grim matter at hand. Abby couldn't imagine a place without magic, but she knew how vehemently some wished it. Thomas finally nodded.
Zed, this time I think you've gotten it right. Sometimes we must serve the people by not serving them.
The others mumbled their agreement, though, like Abby, they thought it a bleak solution. Zed straightened. Then it is decided. He turned and announced to the crowd the end of the war, and the division to come, in which those who had petitioned for years would finally have their petition granted. For those who wished it, a land outside the Midlands, without magic, would be created. While everyone was chattering about such a mysterious and exotic thing as a land without magic, or cheering and celebrating the end of the war, Abby whispered to Janet to wait with her father a moment. She kissed her daughter, and then took the opportunity to pull Zed aside.
Zed, may I speak with you? I have a question.
Zed smiled and took her by the elbow, urging Abby into her small home. I'd like to check on my daughter. Come along. Abby cast caution to the winds and took the Mother Confessor's hand in one of hers, Dolores in the other, and pulled them in with her. They had a right to hear this, too. Zed, Abby asked once they were away from the crowd in her yard, may I please know the debt your father owed my mother? Zed lifted an eyebrow. My father owed your mother no debt. Abby frowned. But it was a debt of bones, passed down from your father to you, and from my mother to me. Oh, it was a debt, all right, but not owed to your mother, but by your mother.
What?
Abby asked in stunned confusion.
What do you mean?
Zed smiled. When your mother was giving birth to you, she was in trouble. You both were dying in labor. My father used magic to save her. Helsa begged him to save you, too. In order to keep you in the world of the living and out of the Keeper's grasp, without thought to his own safety, he worked far beyond the endurance anyone would expect of a wizard. Your mother was a sorceress, and understood the extent of what was involved in saving your life. In appreciation of what my father had done, she swore a debt to him. When she died, the debt passed to you. Abby, eyes wide, tried to reconcile the whole thing in her mind. Her mother had never told her the nature of the debt. But you mean that it is I who owe the debt to you? You mean that the debt of bones is my burden? Zed pushed open the door to the room where his daughter slept, smiling as he looked in. The debt is paid, Abby. The bracelet your mother gave you had magic, linking you to the debt. Thank you for my daughter's life. Abby glanced to the mother confessor. Trickster, indeed. But why would you help me, if it was really not a debt of bones you owed me? If it was really a debt I owed you? Zed shrugged. We reap a reward merely in the act of helping others. We never know how or if that reward will come back to us. Helping is the reward. None other is needed, nor better. Abby watched the beautiful little girl sleeping in the room beyond. I am thankful to the good spirits that I could help keep such a life in this world. I may not have the gift, but I can foresee that she will go on to be a person of import, not only for you, but for others. Zed smiled idly as he watched his daughter sleeping. I think you may have the gift of prophecy, my dear, for she is already a person who has played a part in bringing a war to an end, and in so doing saved the lives of countless people. The sorceress pointed out the window. I still want to know why that thing isn't moving. It was supposed to pass over Dara and purge it of all life, to kill them all for what they have done. Her scowl deepened. Why is it just sitting there? Zed folded his hands. It ended the war. That is enough. The wall is a part of the underworld itself, the world of the dead. Their army will not be able to cross it and make war on us for as long as such a boundary stands. And how long will that be? Zed shrugged. Nothing remains forever. For now, there will be peace. The killing has ended. The sorceress did not look to be satisfied. But they were trying to kill us all. Well, now they can't. Delora, there are those in Dara who are innocent, too. Just because Panis Ral wished to conquer and subjugate us, that does not mean that all the Daran people are evil. Many good people in Dara have suffered under harsh rule. How could I kill everyone there, including all the people who have caused no harm, and themselves wish only to live their lives in peace? Delora wiped a hand across her face. Zedekus, sometimes I don't know about you. Sometimes you make a lousy wind of death. The mother confessor stood staring out the window toward Dara. Her violet eyes turned back to the wizard. There will be those over there who will be your foes for life because of this, Zed. You have made bitter enemies with this. You have left them alive. Enemies, the wizard said, are the price of honor.